How many things in your life do you think you have broken? I don't know about you, but there have been several things that I have broken. I remember when I was a kid and my mom was in the basement and she asked me to give her a scissors. And I threw it down the stairs to her. she got out of the way, but the scissors broke the tip at the end. And you still could use it. She still has it today. But I learned how to carry a scissors after that. not to throw scissors at people. Remember the times at Christmas when you received a new toy? Perhaps before the day was over, your new Christmas toy was broken. Or you may be thinking about some birthday gifts you received, and before the week was out, your gift or gifts were broken. But objects are not the only items that get broken. How about some of your friendships over the years? my great friend from college, his name's Nelson Sokin, and he was from Hilo, Hawaii. And I remember he sent me a letter before we met the first day at school, and he said, I come from a really small school in Hawaii. Got like 1,200 students in my class or something like that. And I'm sitting here in Brownton, Minnesota, and I've got 28. but we were roommates for 4 years and great friends. And, you know, we did things together every day when we were in college. But, you know, after that, it just, you kind of grow apart a little bit. And last time I saw him in person was probably 6 years ago. But, you know, our relationship's not broken, but it's not the same as what it was, right? So, how about the area of marriages? I'm sure you know people whose marriages have been broken. After all, in the United States, we are told that about half of new marriages will end in divorce. How about contracts? Have you ever had someone draw up an agreement with you only to find that somewhere down the pipe they decided not to honor the contract? The contract was broken. How do you feel when something important is broken? Depending on what it is, you probably feel grief, anger, disappointment, and/or sadness. Imagine how God must have felt when his beautiful, perfect creation was broken by the sin of Adam and Eve. You can read the whole sad episode in the first chapters of Genesis. And after the first humans fractured God's creation and caused a split between God and mankind, there was a chain reaction, a domino effect. And so it was with God's creation. Not only did Adam and Eve sin against God's perfect creation and perfect will, but from Genesis on we can read about the domino effect. You and I are still writing sequels as to how our lives have been broken by sin and how we continue to break things entrusted to us by God. Cain broke the brother-to-brother relationship he had with Abel because Cain's offering was not accepted by God, as was Abel's offering. By the time of Noah, God was grieved that he had created man. King Saul broke the growing relationship he had with David because he was jealous of David's popularity. David broke the sacred marital relationship by his infidelity with Bathsheba. David broke the leadership trust he had over Uriah by having him killed. The sin of God's people cracked the nation into two pieces, when the ten northern tribes split off into the kingdom of Israel and separated themselves from the two southern tribes, which became the kingdom of Judah. King Ahab broke the neighborly relationship he had with Naboth when he took his field away from him, and the list goes on. Do you know what happens when things get broken around my house? Well, in some instances, I can fix what is broken and all is fine. But in most cases, it is never like it was originally. The item didn't work as well as it did before, or doesn't quite look the same, Others may not see the difference, but I know the difference. I can tell exactly where the imperfections are. That is why I find great comfort when I read in our text from the next to the last chapter of the Bible, I am making everything new, Revelations 21, verse 5. First of all, you will notice who is saying this. It is God. This is the same God who made everything from nothing in his original creation. God made everything new the first time, since previously the creation did not exist. But in our text, God is talking about recreating all the things that have been broken by our sin, including ourselves. God is an expert at restoration. He is not in the business of restoring antique furniture. He is in the business of restoring people who have sinned, people who have broken his covenant, people who have not trusted and honored him as fully as they should have, people who have not always properly used the resources he has entrusted to them, people who have not gotten along with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, people who hurt one another by what they say or think or do. David put it well in the 23rd Psalm, "He restores my soul." When God restores the fallen creation to the way he originally intended it to be, he also creates anew. In Psalm 51, for example, when David asks God to forgive his sin and restore him, he uses the same Hebrew word for create, as in Genesis 1:1. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This same kind of restoration and recreation is what John is talking about in Revelations 21. Only on a much grander scale. We Christians who will live in the New Jerusalem shall be made new by the power of God's forgiving love in Jesus Christ. Our bodies as well as our souls shall be rejuvenated, restored, and renewed. In verse 1, he describes our new heavenly home. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Have you ever built or moved into a new house? Do you remember how nice and clean and bright and new everything was? Do you remember the smell of things that were new? Do you still have some pictures you took of your new home? Can you imagine for a moment what it will mean for you someday to live in a new city forever? This new house you will live in will never break, need repairs, or wear out. Throughout eternity, every day, our life in heaven, it will remain new. All the old problems of this life will be ancient history, no longer in the picture. John, the inspired writer, tells us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. How do we gain a place in that marvelous new creation? It is something like this. Occasionally you hear of an athlete from a poor family who achieves great success and signs a lucrative contract. Sometimes when asked what he will do with all that money, the athlete may say, "The first thing I'm going to do is to build a new house for my mom and dad." Or think of parents who are so successful they can afford to buy a new house for their grown child. Imagine what it would be like for someone to give you the keys to a new house that you didn't pay for. The house all paid off with no mortgage and debt-free. It was yours, free. This is what God has done for you. I'm supposed to hold up keys right now. I forgot where I have got them. Okay, well, you can imagine my keys. And keys are different nowadays. There's key fobs, and there's old skeleton keys, and then there's regular keys. So who knows what the key actually is going to be, looks like to the door of heaven. But God has given you the keys to the New Jerusalem, the eternal house he has built for you. You have no down payment or debt or rent to pay. Everything is free to you. Your initials are even on the key. That is not to say that the house didn't cost a lot. Listen to how Peter describes the cost. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as gold, as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It cost God's Son everything, his very life, to provide your eternal home to you. He left his heavenly home and became a poor traveler with no place to lay his head as he journeyed toward the cross. His only earthly possessions, the clothes on his back, were taken by the soldiers who crucified him. He became poor for our sakes in order to win for us the imperishable riches of God's forgiving grace. He emptied himself and became a servant so that we might inherit God's kingdom and rule with him forever in glory. He gave up everything so that we might gain everything in the New Jerusalem, our heavenly home purchased with Jesus' blood. You can depend upon his promise. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Isn't it humbling, awe-inspiring thought that the Son of God did all that for you and for me? Even now, God has already begun his work of making everything new. In holy baptism, you were born anew as a child of God, given a second birth and a new life in Christ. Listen to how Paul describes this in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Only God can carry out this work in us. We cannot fix ourselves. Only God can mend what is broken and make it even better than it was before. Only God can make everything new. Amen.